Thank you for listening to an audio resource from Stanwich Church, located in Greenwich in Stamford, Connecticut. The vision of Stanwich Church is to know Christ and make him known.
The epistle lesson for today is from Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 1 through 21. This can be found on page 1162 of your Pew Bible. Paul reminds the church in Ephesus to walk in the light of Christ, being led by the Spirit and bearing fruit for God's kingdom with joy and gratitude to him for all things. A reading from Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with the first verse. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Growing up, I wanted to be just like my dad, just as most of the boys. As a matter of fact, I often referred to him as my superhero. Now, he wasn't the self-promoting, attention-getting kind of guy. He was actually a quiet man, steady, wise, always focused on serving others. As the family's provider, he was always there for us, helping us get through life journeys with the best he knew how, with what he had. And he never really sat me down for these formal lectures either. But he taught me silently through his example, always mindful of the impact he was having. Without words, he showed me what integrity and character truly meant. Now, the one most thing that I remember about my dad was this attention to detail that he had. And it showed up quietly in how he presented himself. He always wanted to look nice, and I guess the apple doesn't fall from the tree, right? We know where that came from, there, right? Thank you, Dad. No. But for example, every Sunday morning, I'd watch him stand in front of the mirror as he would adjust his tie to get that center dimple just right. And then he'd check himself and make sure everything was pressed well. And I'd be standing next to him, mimicking his every move, trying to get it just as he did. That was great. But even more importantly, his shoes. Man, his shoes were his masterpiece. Even when they were worn, he transformed them with careful attention, mind you, until they gleamed with this mirror-like spit shine. And still today, I even try to imitate that. Admittedly, I still have work to do. Now, while my dad's life mirrored this quiet pursuit of integrity, my own journey, it took a different path. And despite his example that was before me, I lost my way. 17 years ago, I was captured by addiction, captive for 23 years, misery and destruction. I had actually become everything I never wanted to be. And I guess like so many people, I struggled to know who I truly was. And even while my dad lived this quiet life of integrity, my own path led to a very different place. Perhaps it was in trying to find myself apart from him, or in seeking identity in all the wrong places. I lost myself. I think we all search for who we are in so many places. Our jobs, our relationships, our achievements. We focus on what we do rather than who we are. Perhaps some of you may have felt that tension, the exhausting effort of trying to prove your worth, proving to establish your identity through performance. The question, who are we? It shapes everything about how we live. It shapes everything about the choices we make. And friends, when we don't know who we truly are, we simply wander aimlessly in desperate search. But today there's good news. Friends, there's hope. When we discover our true identity as God's beloved children, everything changes. How we love, how we live, how we make decisions, the wandering stops, the desperate searching ends. Friends, it's in Christ as God's beloved children that we find who we truly are and how to walk a new way. We're in our sermon series, In Christ, and as we continue, we've already explored how identity shapes our purpose, how identity shapes our sense of belonging, and it even transforms our communities and our family relationships. Today, we'll examine what it means to live out this identity, what it means to live out our identity as God's beloved children. Our identity isn't something we claim, friends. It's something we live. As God's children, we're called to live differently. And Paul calls us, he gives us three clear paths of this new way of living. To walk in love, to walk as children of light, and to walk in wisdom. To walk in love, to walk as children of light, and to walk in wisdom. Now, when the Bible speaks about walking, it really refers to how we live. How we're living each day, the choices we make, the habits we bring on, the direction our lives are going. And in the text, Paul tells us that as God's beloved children, we should be imitators of God. Like a toddler, naturally following and imitating his parents, we are called to reflect God in everything we do. So we're going to unpack this. Let's turn to our text and see how we are to walk as God's children. Paul first instructs us as children of God to walk in love. Read along with me. As I read aloud, you can follow on the wall. Verses 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Friends, this love of Jesus, it's sacrificial, it's intentional, it's unconditional. It's always putting others first. And as God's children, we're called to reflect this same love every day. As we walk in Christ and in love, we are called to walk in love. Think of that toddler again, watching and copying his parents every move. That's how we are to imitate God, walking in love just as Jesus did. I saw that very love through my own father in my addiction. Friends, even when I broke his heart repeatedly, he kept showing up. Steady, unwavering. His love wasn't about my behavior. It was all about his character. Like God's love, it remained constant, even in my most darkest moments. This is precisely the sacrificial Paul is speaking of, a love that becomes a fragrant offering to God. Friends, when we walk in love like Jesus loved us, our daily lives become a sweet gift to God. Amen. Amen. At Pivot, I see this every day. Men come in broken, just as I did. But through experiencing and following Jesus' example of unconditional love, they learn to extend that same love to others. They move from thinking only about themselves to serving their community. Their transformed lives becomes that living sacrifice. It's the sweet aroma to God, mirroring Jesus' ultimate offering. Sacrificial, intentional, and unconditional. This isn't about just warm and fuzzy feelings. This kind of love requires action. This kind of love requires boundaries. And Paul gets really practical for us. He shows us what love isn't. He warns about behaviors, friends, that poison love. Go along with me to reading verses 3 and 4. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. Friends, these behaviors, sexual immorality, impurity, greed, crude speech, they contradict God's love. When we're unsure of who we are, we fill that emptiness with these unhealthy behaviors, bad relationships, overworking, excessive buying. We even use mean speech to hurt others. Friends, only knowing our true identity in Christ brings real security. Kind of imagine your life like a garden. These very behaviors, they're like weeds, and left unchecked, they multiply. They multiply more, and then they're choking out your ability to love others. And I know that firsthand, friends. The weeds took over my life. I had become incapable of loving anyone. In my addiction, those small compromises, they grew into habits and strangled out my capacity to love. It was my time at Pivot that became a season of intensive weeding, pulling out those harm-being behaviors and nurturing the soil of God's love in my life. Just as that very gardener checks his garden every day, friends, we are to examine our hearts. Are we allowing those weeds to grow? Are they taking over? It's not about being perfect, mind you. Even the best gardeners, they battle weeds. But it's about the consistency, friends. It's about the faithful tending and striving to walk in love, even when we stumble. This simply means choosing differently in every moment, letting someone ahead of us in traffic before cutting them off, or speaking kindly to the frustrated cashier who's had a long day, or even helping that neighbor when you're even tired after a long day yourself. All these small choices, they add up, and before you know it, your life shines. Your life radiates the love of Jesus. And this brings us to Paul's next instruction, to walk as light. Our lives are beginning to shine. We're radiating. And now Paul says, walk as light. Follow along with me, verses 8 and 9. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Notice how Paul doesn't just simply tell us what to do. Paul also reminds us who we are. He doesn't say we were in darkness or we stand in light. Paul says something far more profound. He says we are light itself. Friends, we are light in Jesus. Not just in the light, we have become the light. Think about it. It's not about just changing our behaviors. It's a complete transformation of who we are. This is the very power of finding our true identity in Christ. We walk as children of light, a natural expression of our new identity. Now, as children of light, our lives naturally produce fruit. The text says goodness and righteousness and truth. We don't even have to strain at this. We don't strain to produce these fruits, no more than an apple tree strains to produce apples. This just simply flows from who we are in Christ. It's that simple. It's helping that coworker who's fallen behind, or choosing honesty when no one's watching. It's speaking truth with gentleness. Again, I see this fruit growing at Pivot. At the recent men's Vermont trip, for example, Damon was there on a ski trip with us. Damon once lived in isolation. This brother prayed for the first time out loud in front of a room of strangers. BJ, who's a staff with Pivot, he used to hide his struggles. Now he openly shares his stories to mentor others. Friends, these aren't forced changes. This is their natural fruit as they live. A transformed life. Amen, yeah. But Paul's he takes us even deeper. He tells us we are to do more than bear fruit. He also invites us to shine light into dark places. Let's look at verses 11 through 14. Take no part in unfruitful works of darkness. He says, but instead expose them. We're called to expose the light, to expose the darkness. For it is shameful even to speak of the things they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Just picture you walking into a dark room and you turn on the light switch. There's no need to point out the dust in the corners. There's no need to point out the clutter that's in the room. The light reveals it naturally. That's what our lives should do, friends. Our lives should work that way. As Christ's light naturally exposes darkness, we should too. Just a quiet contrast of a transformed life. And this isn't a call for condemnation. It's not a call to shame anyone. It's not a call even to point fingers. Jesus didn't shame people for their sin. He simply confronted evil while offering transformation. Friends, when light reveals darkness, it creates that opportunity for Christ's healing power to transform lives. When we live with integrity, it naturally exposes dishonesty. When we speak with kindness, it reveals the harm in gossip. When we give generously, it exposes greed. And here is the amazing promise, friends. Anything exposed to light can become light itself. Hallelujah. Just as Christ awakened us from our spiritual sleep, our light-bearing lives now can help others wake in the same truth. I love the imagery of verse 14, which scholars believe was an early Christian baptism hymn, and it was sang as believers came out of the waters. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Friends, when Christ's light shine on us, we don't just see the light. We become light ourselves. And as light, we shine light into dark places, helping others to wake up to the same grace that awakened us. Awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead. Pivot has shown me this as well. I've watched this happen more than I can count. Men who once lived in darkness, they now shine. They shine as beacons of hope for others. Keep shining, men. Keep walking, men. Amen. We're called to walk in love, friends. We're called to shine as light. But living this way, it requires something essential. And that's the wisdom. And this brings us to Paul's last and final instruction, to walk in wisdom. Follow along with me, verses 15 through 17. Look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making best use of the time because the days are evil. Paul says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Our world is so full of endless choices, and we often make decisions based upon our feelings. We make decisions based upon others' opinions, but Paul tells us to look carefully at how we walk, friends, not as unwise, but as wise. And it's in our Christ identity where we get wisdom to choose carefully each step we make. It's like when we teach a child to cross a street. Look both ways, we remind them. Pay attention. We tell them. Why? We know that one careless step could be dangerous. Friends, our spiritual walk requires the same mindful attention. Every choice matters. It's standing firm when everyone else is compromising, or showing grace when justice could be easier, or building bridges when everyone else around us is building walls. Friends, these are the moments that reveal our true identity. Are we reflecting Christ's love or are we reflecting the world? Paul tells us not to be foolish, but to understand the will of God. That's simply hearing from God. Hearing his word, discerning his word. And admittedly, our world makes it hard to hear from God sometimes. It's hard to stay on this path. It's constantly pushing against us. And friends, if we're really, really honest, we struggle. We fall short. We leave the path. We begin to let the weeds grow. We hide our light under a basket. That's why we must look carefully. It's important that we walk wisely and consistently discern God's will in every choice we make. Every choice, we bring it to the Father for wisdom that we may walk in wisdom. And Paul gives us a beautiful picture of how to do this. We'll complete the reading with verses 19 through 21. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. Be filled with the Spirit, Paul says, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Paul simply says, friends, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled. It's about what we fill ourselves with, friends. It's about what flows from us. And being filled with the Spirit is, again, as practical as our choices. When we choose kindness over anger, or we choose forgiveness over bitterness, that's the Spirit at work in us. We can fill our lives with things that cloud our mind, like too much wine. Yeah, Pastor Richard knows about that one. Well, pivot, come on, somebody. But what about too much greed? Too much pride? What about filling yourself with too much hatred? Or too much unforgiveness? Friends, it's all debauchery. We could, on the other hand, let the Spirit of God fill every corner in our life. When our lives are filled with God's spirits, we sing praises from our hearts, friends. We give Him thanks. We put others first. When we're filled with the Spirit, there's no room for lesser things. So who are you? What defines you? We live in a world that constantly asks us that question. Our world gives us countless false answers. It tells us we are by what we achieve, by what we own, or by who we love, or by how many people follow us. Friends, our true identity is found in being God's truly loved children. We're children of God, friends. And before God asks anything of us, He gave us everything through Jesus. His love, His light, His Spirit. It's through Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross that we receive that new identity, and it's not based upon what we do or what we have or what others think. It's solely rooted in who God says we are through Jesus, His beloved children, chosen and treasured. Hallelujah. God fills us with His Spirit. He empowers us to walk in love, to walk His light, and to walk in wisdom. Let's walk as His beloved children. Amen. Amen.
To learn more about the mission and vision of Stanwich Church and how you can get involved, please visit stanwichchurch.org.